America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Hear about the multi-billion dollar distraction most of America watched last night? I know you did. But folks, there are other things to talk about than bad decisions. You've made a great one by tuning into the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660. The Answer. Lair Adams with you on this beautiful Monday. As our president wants to rob the rich for more of those non-existent, shovel-ready jobs, in his new spend-all budget. Now, minutes ago, our friend and American Adversaries General Danny McKnight, Colonel Danny McKnight, was on Neil Cavuto on Fox News responding to Barry's announcement, "We have nothing to fear from terrorists." Danny says otherwise. So does our host, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thank you so much, Lair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us once again on a fine afternoon here in Central Florida. Groundhog Day. Happy Groundhog Day. Hope you like winter because the hog says we're going to have six more weeks of it. And you are listening.
Was that de Blasio dropping him and killing him?
Yeah, that's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. And once again, yes, indeed, we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please don't forget to call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, for the best in mercury free dental care at 407-678-3399. And don't forget to ask him about his book, Mercury Free, where you will find out about the connection between mercury exposure and autoimmune diseases. All right, as I said, welcome to the show today, folks. Of course, you can be a part of the things here. If you want to get in on the action, the number is 407-774-8255. Our man Abe won't be with us tonight. He had been traveling, and now he's got a bit of a cold, but he will be with us either tomorrow or Wednesday. We're in the process of setting that up, so Abe will be with us at least this week. Nostra Dennis will be with us here in the second half of the show, but as I said, you can join us at any time as well. Before we really get going here, I do want to make a mention of Michael Medved. We found out Friday after the show what the situation was with Michael. And if you haven't heard, he has throat cancer, stage 3. Mm-hmm. He has already been receiving treatment for it. He's optimistic that the outcome will be good. But in the meantime, he is going to be taking about a month off from the show. And if you were listening earlier, you heard Mark Davis, and that's why you heard Mark. And then he will be carrying the lion's share of the show in the interim. As we spoke about this briefly last night on the show. And once again, I want to ask you folks, I want to beg you folks to pray for Michael Medved. He's a good man. And
we got a chance to meet him at the Republican convention.
Yeah, I related that experience last night. And for those of you who didn't hear it, when we were over at the Republican convention for the last presidential campaign in Tampa, there was what they call Radio Row, where you have dozens, if not 100 or so, radio stations, you know, all lined up in sort of exhibition style, if you've ever been to an exhibit show. And Michael Medved was there doing his show, as were a number of other radio personalities.
Big names, too.
Yeah, from this network and others. And we approached Michael Medved and others, I'm going to leave that there, to be on our show as we were there that week. And Michael did take the time to come and be on our show.
Very gracious.
Very, very gracious. And he had to come back because at that time, what we did was the station here set us up so that we would be doing our show live from 7 to 9 those nights. So he did his show, and then he left, and then he would have to come back to be on our show, which he did. And it was a very great interview. He was very gracious. And afterwards, we took photographs, and he was even a good sport and had a couple pictures taken of him, putting me in a headlock. And, of course, he knew that in Orlando, we have the third hour of his show. And he didn't.
Still very gracious.
Yeah, and I will say this. The other ones didn't come by. I'm not going to name any names, but they did not come by.
Now, that is also where we met Abe Katzman,
it
and that's
sure
where
is.
He developed a fabulous friendship with this man.
That's right. We also had John Voight. We met John Voight
yes.
there. It's the first time we had him on the show. And so please pray for Michael Medved. He's a great voice. You know, every now and then you see us taking an exception with something that he had said, but that's all part of what we do. We want to give you a full breath.
And he's behind that.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to give you a full spectrum of thought. You know, because that's the adversarial system, is that we put the arguments out there, and it's up to you to decide who's got the better one or not. And I like to say, you know, what he does is on his show is more cerebral than what we do, but we all contribute. And so please pray for Michael Medved, and we will try to keep you posted if we find news. But for the time being, that's all we know. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the day's business, and we might talk a little football when Nostradamus joins us, but in the meantime, I want to talk about this huge waste of paper called the 2015 budget or
yeah.
something like
oh,
that.
Yeah,
yeah, just this total waste of paper. I wonder how many trees they had to chop down so that Barack Obama could have this, you know, waste of paper. And it essentially
It'll
always
go in
is.
His library.
Yeah, and it kind of doesn't matter which president's in office. I mean, I can remember every time Bush would present his budget, they get the same response, DOA, dead on arrival, not going anywhere. And it's not up to the president to set the budget anyway. It's up to the House of Representatives. And nonetheless, we get an idea. And this is just more of the posturing that is a part of the political game, which Barack Obama is actually pretty good at, which is what he was doing in the State of the Union. So here's more of the same. Here's what I want to do for the middle class. I'm their savior.
Isn't it kind
champion.
Of like a wish list?
It's more than just a wish list. It's a campaign statement is what it is.
Yeah.
This is what we as liberals stand for. And, of course, in his case, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, it's tax and spend more.
Sure.
Right? And he's going to give, let's see, middle class families, 40 million of them or so, will get a $600 tax break.
We want revenge against the rich,
yeah.
and that's what they base it on.
Yeah,
revenge against the rich.
But in order to get that $600 tax break, he's made filing your taxes a lot more complicated. So this is the problem, is that instead of simplifying the taxes, he just proceeds to make them even more complicated. And he wants to raise taxes on, quote-unquote, the rich. But
that includes corporations.
It also includes inheritance taxes. And
yep.
guess what? The rich aren't the only ones who get inheritances, right? As a matter of fact, the middle class are the ones who get hurt worst by the inheritance taxes. And this is where the president wants to go in order to help the middle class. Now, you want to say something because I want to go in a bit of a different direction.
Okay, I was going to say, though, basically I heard it described by one person as Barack Obama's plans are that if anyone is making enough money that they can put money in savings,
he wants
you're
it.
Making too much money.
he wants it.
You're being, I mean, you make too much
right.
money.
Yeah, and therefore the government should have its hands all over it.
Yes.
And that's essentially what he's all about. It's Marxist. He's a communist. You know, there's no question about it, I don't think, anymore, that this guy is, he exhibits all the signs and all the symptoms of being a dyed-in-the-wool Marxist. And believe me, I studied it out here at the UCF for over 2 years from one of the finest Marxist professors in the United States at the time, and I know one when I see one. And he is one. And that's all this is all about. But he is setting the tone of the argument. And this is what is more troubling to me, because yesterday on the one of the morning talk shows was Paul Ryan. Of course, we all remember Paul Ryan, the
sure.
vice presidential candidate nominee under Mitt Romney there. And he was outlining the Republican strategy, which is basically... basically to let the president set the tone of the argument. And they're going to sit around, and he said, what we're going to do is we're going to wait and see how much there is, if there's any places that we can work together with the president. Well, we're going to wait and see, and we're going to work together with the president. And if there is nowhere place that we're going to work with the president, well, then we're going to run out our plan. Then we're going to run out our tax proposal. Then we're going to run out this. And I'm going, you stupid idiot, it's going to be months too late at that time, fool.
When has that worked for him before?
If you have a plan, you better get it out right now, pronto. This is stupidity for the Republicans to sit on their thumbs and wait for the president to come to them. No, you make this president irrelevant. You make him into the puny little nothing that he is. But you don't do that by sitting around waiting on him. This is stupidity. You know, I don't know who I'm more angry at, the president or Paul Ryan and the Republicans. Well, I take that back. I do know who. Paul Ryan and the Republicans. Because the president is acting exactly like I expect him to act, and he is acting aggressively. And the Republicans are acting passively. We're going to sit around and wait on the president and see if we can work together with the president. If we can't work with the president, then we're going to come out with our plan. What's the matter with coming out with your plan now and putting the pressure on the president? I mean, this is why we lose elections. It's not because the Hispanics or this or that group. It's because we don't stand for any damn thing. Because if we did, he would have the plan out there. This is utter nonsense. And you Republicans out there need to get your act together, or you're going to let us all down again, and then we're going to leave you at the polls standing. And that's just the way it works. And I'll say this about the president. I don't agree one iota with his policies, but I sure enough like his style. Yes, I do. Because he goes after the ring. He doesn't sit and wait and let the other side tell him when he can have it. All right, folks, if you want more of that, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, we're going to help you get off that crazy train with these lunatic politicians. All right, welcome back. As I said, 407-774-8255 is the number. And I want to switch gears here a little bit, that tirade about, but that's why I say, you know, these Republicans, I mean, what that told me yesterday is either A, they don't have a plan, or B, they don't want to tell anybody about it because they don't believe in it themselves.
And they're just so timid.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
In everything they do, they don't show any guts, any reason why they're any stronger than Barack Obama.
Which is why a guy like Barack Obama can beat him at the polls. You know, in a better world, shall we say, Barack Obama would have been laughed off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we allow him to control the conversation. And then maybe later on, you know, this is, you know, it's, but anyway.
And then we go after our guys when they're strong and actually stand up to him. Oh, that's not the way we need to act.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, part of one of the president's proposals is to have a one-time surtax on corporate profits that are held overseas. Now, these are profits that we've been wanting to get them to reinvest back here in the United States. And prior to this budget proposal, which, by the way, supposedly has some quote unquote bipartisan support. I'll take that a little bit grain of salt, but the president and Republicans were talking last fall about having a sort of a 1-year amnesty of no tax or a lower tax to get them to bring those profits back. There's no way they're going to want to be involved in that. It's just another way to take advantage of the corporations, and every time you pass a tax onto the corporation, guess what, folks? They pass it right on to us into the cost of the product or a service. All right, let's see. We got somebody on the line. I'll get to you here in just a second, but I want to make a point about something else I saw on the talk shows yesterday morning. It was our very own Bill Bennett, who does a really fine show here, Morning in America, every morning on the Salem Network from 6 to 9 a.m.
Former education director for Reagan.
And there's a couple of points I disagree with him adamantly on, and one is Common Core. He is totally behind Common Core, and he was on Fox News yesterday morning defending it against the new governor of Texas, who is adamantly against it. And basically, there were two parts of Mr. Bennett's argument that I'm uncomfortable with. One, he kept saying, you know, if you want to know about Common Core, just go read the standards. You know, these are what the standards say. And if you just read the standards, you'll see how, you know, benign and innocuous they are. Well, the problem is, when you have guys like Barack Obama, it doesn't mean a damn what the standards say. They're going to make it mean what they want it to mean. And all you have done is given them the opportunity to do so.
And these standards come from where?
Well, that's the second point.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, he said, what we needed was we found that we needed a standard that we could measure all the different states by, because what we found was those different states would use their own standards, and they would tell us that their students were reading at a certain level, and then we would give them the national assessment test and find that, no, that their students weren't reading at this level. And then he goes on to say, so what we needed and what Common Core is a national assessment test so that we can measure all the students in every state against one another. Did you follow what I just said there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In other words, he said, we used a national assessment test to determine that we needed a national assessment test called Common Core. Now, I must be missing something, because the man taught philosophy and he's pretty doggone smart, but that sounds pretty doggone stupid to me.
It sounds like double talk.
It sure enough does, don't it? All right, let's go to Dave while we still have a few minutes.
And again, it came from the UN.
Agenda 21.
And did he bring that up?
No.
He didn't? Okay.
No.
They don't want that brought up.
See, the difference between his argument and the governor of Texas's argument is Bill Bennett was arguing what Common Core was, quote-unquote, maybe supposed to be. The governor of Texas was arguing what it is, which is why nobody likes it, nobody of their right mind. All right, let's go now to Dave. Dave, thank you for calling. We so much appreciate you being out there, sir.
Sure, whatever it is, I'm against it.
that makes life easy, don't it?
absolutely. I have a rhetorical question for you.
Sure.
A few months ago, there was an outbreak of tuberculosis in Lynn, Massachusetts.
Yep.
It just happened to coordinate with the dumping of illegal alien children in that area. Now we've got outbreaks in several states of measles. Of course, we haven't had this problem for decades, but it just possibly maybe correlates with the abundance of illegal children scattered throughout the United States.
Dave, you're a hater.
You think?
Well, you're a hater, Dave. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, well, I must be.
And I say that facetiously. I agree with you, especially since it started in.
People yelling from the rooftop saying, hey, you jerk in the White House. What? Your fundamental job is to keep us safe.
Well, I addressed this last night on our show last night. And by the way, folks, that show will be on our website in the archive tonight after our show. You go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com and you will find it. And what I said last night is what the media is doing is they're deflecting the cause, if you will. They're saying they're putting all the attention on people who are choosing not to get vaccinated and families who are choosing not to have their children vaccinated. But it never did explain, you know, where the disease was coming from. I mean, if you don't have a vaccination, you don't just spontaneously get the disease. You must have contracted it from someone or somewhere. And I think you're absolutely correct.
There are even in Colorado who died from illnesses that were known to be transported by these people from South or Central America and Mexico.
It's
some sort of illness. It's not tuberculosis, but some other illness.
Yeah, you're right.
It's more important not to hate.
Yeah,
That's what it is.
I know what you're saying. I got to take a hard break. And we had a doctor on our show a while back who was talking mm-hmm. about this, and we'll try to get him back to give us an update. But you're absolutely right. You're on the right trail. Stay there and stay on it. And stay on. Keep your dial on this station and listening to us. We appreciate you being out there. And I hope that you will join the American Adversaries Army, because we need recruits like you.
Yeah, there's no correlation between this happening in Disneyland in California full of illegals, where this seemed to pop up. Oh, well. We'll never go that way.
The Answer.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart, once again for SoundbiteRx.com, with just a little sample of the brand new medicine you'll find there today. Like this. Did you remember the Obama phones? And the lady who talked about she wanted to get her an Obama phone? Well, the phone companies are outraged by Obama phone abuses. What else do you expect, though, when the government gives things away? Of course it's going to be abused. Also this. CARE, you know, the Council on American-Islamic Relations? Yeah, that's right. They are speaking out on Sharia law. Now, they're supposed to be of the moderate wing. I think you'd be interested to see what they're saying about Sharia law. And there was another beheading in the Middle East. And no, I'm not talking about that Japanese journalist who was beheaded by ISIS. I'm talking about the first beheading in Saudi Arabia under its new leader, King Salman. Not salmon, folks. Salmon. Also this, Bobby Jindal, he's my man. He's warning of Islamic, quote-unquote, colonization and invasion of the United States. All I can say to that is Jindal for president, baby. He's talking my language. And you can go to soundbiterx.com and get good medicine just like that. Brand new, today, every day. Please go there. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. Yes, and we were all enjoying our visit with Sonny last night on our Sunday night show. And please do check it out. And when you do, you'll find out who told the Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor to, and I quote, "Loosen up, Sandy baby." If you didn't hear the show last night, you don't know. You're going to have to go to our archive and hear who said that. And we do a Who Said That contest on our show every Sunday night. It's a lot of fun.
Good prizes.
Yep, we had a lot of fun last night. Yeah, one of the prizes is a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, only the finest Italian restaurant in all of Central Florida. And you also get a My Liberty Threads t-shirt. And, of course, you hear the commercials, and they are really good t-shirts. Great quality, American-made. Speaking of t-shirts, I see that our very own Nick Cicero on the bridge tonight has on his Tom Brady jersey. He's probably been wearing that thing about 3 days straight, haven't you, Dick?
Yeah, go Pats. That was awesome last night.
It was some football game. I'll tell you what, you know, we did our show live until 8 o'clock, but I did get to home in time to catch the second half of the game, and it was very exciting. And sortly ended in a sort of sudden fashion, if you will. But it was a great game, of course. And it has a controversy to it, you know, with that last call there by the Seahawks on offense. But that's part of what makes great games. Great games is you can debate them forever.
Screw ups, yeah.
I was sitting there going, bootleg it, bootleg it.
You know? He should have. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I couldn't believe it. When his arm went up in the air, I was like, no. No, you are not. He did.
If you're going to pass, I would think if I would pass in that situation, it would have been a fade into the corner or something like that. But nonetheless, it was a great game. And if you didn't get a chance to see it, well, they'll always be next year. But
I love that little push on the Patriot player, the rookie there. The little push is like, no, you can't have that. That's mine.
Yeah, well, you know, and this is the part of what's, you know, cool about athletics is the stories about the people who play. And the guy that intercepted that pass, earlier this year, worked at a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Or some fast food restaurant, wasn't it, Nick?
Well, I know the guy who was catching all the balls for the Seahawks. He was working at a Foot Locker earlier in the season, and they called him over. He couldn't make any team. They called him halfway through the season. We're like, hey, come play with us. And
I believe that Belichick found this guy working in a fast food restaurant.
Okay, I hadn't heard that, but that very well could be the case.
Well, maybe Nostradamus will tell us. I don't know. I got a sports section here. Maybe I can find it during the break. But I might be mistaken about that. But nonetheless, it was a fantastic interception, I should say. It was great because he stood. This is what you Republicans should do. The man stood up and he grabbed that ball and in the process knocked the Seahawks receiver flying. Did you see that?
Yeah, he did.
Yes. I mean, it was beautiful. The Republicans could learn a lot from that one play last night. All right. As I said, welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number.
They are. You're right, Chris. They are so overwhelmingly absorbed with their own pitiful egos. Just they don't want to be perceived as the bad guy. They're going to do anything not to be the bad guy.
Well, like I say, they could take a lesson from Barack Obama. He doesn't let that slow him down one bit, does he? You know, it kind of reminds me of watching, say, Michael Jordan play, and you're not a Bulls fan. You hate that he whips your team, but you got to kind of marvel at how he does it.
Yeah,
but it's only
and which your team could learn from.
Well, it's only because your team isn't of the same caliber as him. And when it comes to politics and Barack Obama, that ain't saying much for the Republican side. That's for sure. All right. When we get Nostradamus on the line, he's going to be joining us. He's got some numbers. The American Sniper movie is still going strong. It is now once again set more records, including the biggest selling movie during Super Bowl weekend. So even though it was the big weekend, a lot of people were still going out to see that movie.
Biggest grossing military or war movie of all time.
All time. And it's only bound to set more records. I'm pretty sure of that. So if you haven't seen it, please do get out and see it. It is rated R, and it's rated R mainly because of it's not overly violent, but there's some cussing and that sort of thing in it, too, as you might expect. Soldiers.
It's war. They kill people.
It's realistic. Let's just put it that way. It's realistic. So that's what you're going to get. All right, talking about getting realistic, we got our Nostradamus, our executive producer, with us over manning the command post at headquarters. Nostradamus.
I am authentic and realistic. Yes, I am. How are you?
Doing pretty good. So, yeah, give us the breakdown on the American Sniper movie as it stands now.
Yeah, right now it's getting near the $250 million mark. And in the process, it broke a record for Super Bowl weekend. It picked up $31.8 million over the weekend, and that ended up picking off the previous high water mark for the football big weekend from 2008. Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus, Best of Both Worlds concert tour. So you can say Chris Kyle just picked off Miley Cyrus.
Oh, easy does it now. All right. Well, that's great news. And I guess it's going to stay in the theaters a number of more weeks, right?
Indefinitely, because if it continues on this clip, it could end up eclipsing The Hunger Games as the highest grossing 2014 release. And it could pass The Matrix Reloaded to become the second biggest R-rated release in history.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. You know, once again, just hats off to Clint Eastwood and everybody that put this movie together, because it's an excellent movie. And
do you know who else said, surprisingly, that she loved the movie? Michelle Obama, of all people.
Is that right?
Bill Maher.
She said she thought it portrayed our heroes in a realistic light, and it's better than putting someone out there as a perfect human being, as a, you know, an untouchable specimen, some war movies tend to do.
Well, I didn't know she was in the Tea Party.
I was going to say.
Howard Dean, yeah, she's got to be a Tea Party type.
I just got a cold chill because, two times now in 1 week I've been I've been in agreement with the First Lady. Certainly I agree with those sentiments, and I thought it was pretty cool that she didn't wear the headscarf over there in Saudi Arabia.
That's right.
The old man might be a Muslim, but Mama ain't, I guess, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you gave me that list the other day of all the people in the Obama administration who are either Muslim, have Muslim ties, or are suspected of being Muslim. And, you know, a lot of these ties, while you can't pin a lot of them down, there's a lot of people out there in this administration who are, let's just say, Muslim world friendly.
Sympathetic.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because during the Soundbite News Minute, I mentioned an article they have in there about Bobby Jindal, and he's kind of addressing this. There's two or three things that I think that should be either required or, let's just say, disqualifiers for the next presidential candidate from either side. One of those things is Common Core. If there's a Republican for Common Core, that disqualifies you.
There's two of those.
So what would you do, Chris? Would you not vote if the nominee ended up being a Common Core advocate?
I'd vote for the Libertarian or write your name in.
Or not vote.
Why do I want to vote a lesser Democrat in? This argument never makes sense to me. You know, but the two, they also need to be very adamant and very frank and candid about the threat that we are facing by Islamic extremism, if you want to call it that.
And be willing to call it by its name.
And be willing to call it by its name, just like Bobby Jindal said. And be willing to say, we are going to look at all things, and we are going to take a whole new, entire, different approach, and we're going to look at things inside and out. And if changes need to be made within this government to address this threat, we will do it, because the time is a-wasting. And when you have infiltration into the government at the levels that we're talking about, Nostradamus is checking on these names, and we will reveal them in their positions in the government when we're confident. But there is no time to delay. And the Republicans cannot be, as Lair called them, timid on this one. This timidity will get us all killed and right quick. So much about that.
And who's the lion out there? Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
For the Republicans.
Yep.
The guy has, he's...
And now Bobby Jindal. So, and I would imagine Ted Cruz is going to be of that ilk as well. And so that's, you know.
Lindsey called for 10,000 troops in Syria today.
Well he's, I believe he did it yesterday, but what he's doing is he's dealing with reality.
Yep.
You know, and the generals say, they all say, you cannot deal with this problem if you want to solve it simply from the airstrikes. But we all know that, Barack Obama.
But they're so clean, Chris.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody gets a bloody nose.
All right. All right, speaking of clean and bloody noses, I guess this might fit in there. The Super Bowl hangover, I'm calling it, Nostradamus. I guess after the Super Bowl, admissions to rehab centers go up?
Yeah, and I guess you don't even have to be a Seahawks fan to have this happen, although I'm sure there are a lot of Seahawks fans just trying to sleep it off today after that awful call last night.
Oh, boy, I could just see them on...
They're getting hammered because of it.
I could see them all down in front of their TV sets, down on their hands and knees, crying. So close yet so far.
Yeah, there's a couple of parts to this. First of all, people who enjoy imbibing with their friends. Super Bowl Sunday is usually a big day. And a night like that of heavy drinking can lead to a morning of rock bottom. I've got to do something to pick my life back up again. And out at the University of Colorado Hospital Center for Dependency, Addiction, and Rehabilitation, the staff prepares every year to get an influx of calls on the hours and the days after Super Bowl. Dr. Patrick Feeling is an addiction psychiatrist there. He says the big game day can also be tough on people who recently quit drinking. If they stopped drinking recently, then the Super Bowl comes around, then everyone else around them is drinking, and it's too much for them to handle. Some people think they can just have a beer or two, and others just try to hold out as long as they can, but then they go back after the game to their home or their apartment and start drinking alone, which is even worse.
Well, now, this was in Colorado, the study. Is that right, Dennis?
The study's out of Colorado, but they claim that it is nationwide, that rehab centers all over the country.
Well, see, in Colorado, they just get you stoned. Hey, you're hungover? Come on in here. We'll roll you a big fatty. And, that's how we treat alcohol.
Rocky Mountain High, that's right.
Speaking of that, and speaking of football, did you see where Mr. Football, Johnny Manziel, checked himself into one of those places?
See that? You didn't have to be Mr. Football. You could just be a regular guy and still check yourself into rehab. Oh. Yeah, apparently he waited until the game was over to make this announcement.
And who's the Orlando resident that got popped at Super Bowl for trying to pick up a prostitute?
Whoops.
That would be Mr. Warren Sapp.
Whoops.
For 99, yeah.
Whoops. That's too bad. We've had a chance to meet Warren.
And he was on
nice
assignment.
Guy. Yeah, he was working for the network, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh well, you see what that what John Barleycorn will do to you? All right, let's see. Okay, Nostradamus, we just have a minute left in this segment, so when we come back, we'll get to that those other couple of stories. But okay, Nostradamus, by the way, Nostradamus stood in for Lair last night, and he did a closing in place of Lair's closing. And if you ever want to hear Lair's closing, or if you want to hear what Nostradamus said, once again, don't forget, go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. And once again, I want to encourage you to please go there and check it out. And if you will, go to our recruiting office and enlist into the American Adversaries Army so you can help us keep doing what we're doing. Just listen to Nostradamus' essay. I think he put it quite well last night. And for only $5 a month, you can be an enlistee. And our first newsletter is coming out this week. And in the newsletter, you'll find coupons. You'll find a lot of great information. This month, you'll find bios about all us guys. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have a letters to the editors portion in there where for future newsletters, you can write in an article or something for yourself, and we'll print it if we think it's worthy of it. So please become a member of the American Adversaries Army. That's the only way you'll be able to get your hands on one of our newsletters. And so we would love you to do that at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. You can also enlist at higher levels, or if you want to just send us a one-time donation or something like that, you can do that there as well. We also have our P.O. Box address there. So if you'd rather mail it in and not mess with the internet, you can do that there as well. AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. And we're the American Adversaries Radio Show, coming right back. That's right, folks. You got the pearls of talk radio decadence. You got the American Adversaries. It is drive time on AM 660, The Answer. All right, Nostradamus, speaking of decadence, we'll get to the decadent stuff here in just a second. But you got a story that's an interesting story. You know, there's this case going on in the Supreme Court. We were talking about it with Steve Gushov last week. And having to do, of course, with same-sex marriage. And Justice Kennedy, who is going to be one of the pivotal justices in this case, as he is in most cases, got an interesting letter from someone recently.
She did, and it's an open letter. It was published at her website, thepublicdiscourse.com.
You mean him, Justice Kennedy?
Yeah, it was published at the author's website.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thepublicdiscourse.com is the website I got it from. She also has a blog that's called AskTheBigot.com, B-I-G-O-T. Her name is Katie Faust. She serves on the Academic and Testimonial Councils of the International Children's Rights Institute, and she is a child of two gay parents. And I won't go through the whole letter because it takes a while, but I will hit some of the high points. She starts, "Dear Justice Kennedy, June is nigh, and with it will come your ruling on the most contentious political issue of our time, marriage." She's writing because she says she's one of many children with gay parents who believe we should protect marriage. "I believe you are right," she writes, "during the Proposition 8 debates when you said the voice of the children of same-sex parents is important." She goes on to point out that when a child has parents of the same sex, same-sex couples and opposite-sex couples are wholly unequal and should be treated differently for the sake of the children, that the children will miss out on at least one critical parental relationship and a vital dual gender influence. And making policy that intentionally deprives children of their fundamental rights is something we should not endorse, incentivize, or promote.
Yeah, I think she makes a point. Now, I would suppose that you could have gendered identities in a same-sex marriage so divergent that perhaps the argument could be made that you would get the same effect. But what she's saying ultimately is that you need both male and female influence to get the full benefit of childhood.
And you need a same-sex parent as well as an opposite-sex parent to provide basically the yin and the yang of how to deal with life. You can't have a yin and a yin.
Well, that's right. And that's what goes back, and we've talked about this on the show before, that's what underpins the whole idea of the adversarial form of government. The Greeks 2,500 years ago talked about how the universe is composed of opposites and how they interact with one another. Opposites like hot and cold, left and right, conservative and liberal, male and female, love and hate. You cannot have the one without the other. And if you just have the one, then you are totally out of balance. And that's the argument she's making here. It's a very sophisticated philosophical argument because it is what underpins the entire universe.
Now, this is kind of a dangerous portion. Dennis, did she go in at all into the possibilities or maybe the circumstances or the numbers of children of same-sex parents becoming same or gay themselves?
No, in fact, she doesn't really address that. She does say, she's pointed about the fact that she loves her mom, and she says her mom because it is apparent here that her gay parents did split up as she was growing up.
Yeah.
And she's not saying that being same-sex attracted makes one incapable of parenting. She says her mom was an exceptional parent, and much of what she does well as a mother is a reflection of how her mother loved and nurtured her.
Yeah.
What it's about is the missing parent, and having two of the same thing does not compensate for missing a key ingredient.
Yeah, she says in the letter that she loved her, she loves her mother, she loved her mother companion, and she loved all their friends. She said, but she would trade it all in a minute to have had her mother and father being her parents as she grew up.
Right.
And it's a very powerful letter, and I hope that the justice has read it and takes it to heart as he's making his decision.
And things just as simple, gentlemen, as my daughter was an only child. She feels bad about that. She very strongly believes in siblings, and when she has children, she wants to have more than one.
Yeah. Well, if you want to read the letter, listeners, you can go to the American Adversaries Facebook page and click on the link. It's up there. It's at the website, thepublicdiscourse.com, but you can click right to the link on our Facebook page.
And Nostradamus is working hard to put fresh stuff up on our Facebook page every day, serious stuff, funny stuff, and weird stuff. It's every day on our Facebook page. So please go there. Please like us and follow us and get your friends and others to do the same, and we really do appreciate that. All right, Nostradamus, you got one more story for us there, and talk about decadence. Here we get to the decadence part, the junk food.
Yeah, we'll get a little light and frivolous to end the show off. You know, one of the things I liked about visiting my daughter's high school, Lake Brantley, right down the road here in Altamont Springs, was when it came time for Parent Teacher Day, a lot of the groups had little bake sales.
Yeah.
They'd have cupcakes, and they'd have chocolate cakes and cookies and things to raise money for their individual groups.
Yep.
Well, apparently in South Carolina, they tried putting a ban on selling these unhealthy snacks in schools. It turns out, though, that the cauliflower and celery sales weren't really doing so well. So they decided, you know what? The superintendent said, you can apply for a waiver to allow snacks that don't meet the low sodium, low sugar, low fat limits to be sold in their schools in the state of South Carolina on certain days, because volunteer groups were just not able to raise money for things like field trips and band uniforms and things.
I tell you, you can't you can't force, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink, right? People like their brownies, they like their cookies, and they love bake sales. I mean, it's just absurd. And
if you force kids to eat arugula, it's going in the garbage.
That's where it's going. They say that about 35% of school lunch items under these new Michelle Obama laws end up in the trash. They are not eaten, and usually there's a picture taken of them and posted on Facebook with the hashtag, thanks, Mrs. Obama.
All right. Well, thank you, Nostradamus. We're all out of time for tonight. We appreciate all your efforts. And Nostradamus, once again, is working to get Abe on either tomorrow or Wednesday. Tomorrow we do have Gerald Loper of the Orlando Predators, who's going to join us and give us an update on the Predators. You know, now that the NFL season is over, the Pred season will be starting next month. So we'll be talking to him a little bit about that tomorrow night. You heard me railing about Common Core earlier, folks. If you want to do something about it, if you have a child or a grandchild who is in public schools and you're, you know, just totally concerned about that, try to get them in a private school where they'll get a better education at least. And here's a great way to do it, by getting half-price tuition breaks. You can find those at AmazingRadioDeals.com. That's AmazingRadioDeals.com. Half-price tuition to places like Orlando Christian Prep, King of Kings Lutheran, Liberty Christian, and others. Or give Bill Files, he's the station manager here at Salem Communications in Orlando, give him a phone call at 407-618-1760. That's 407-618-1760.
And like Chris was saying, there's nothing better you can do for your child's upbringing and to get them an extra step up on life, and that is to get them a great education. Not the government education.
No, sir.
Not this weird thing that Bill Bennett wants. No, no, no. Common Core isn't going to cut it, folks.
All right. Well, we'll cut it, and we'll be back here tomorrow night to cut through the nonsense and get to the truth. Night,
see
everybody.
Ya.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660, The